it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts. Religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Sizzler.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. We call that the Fan Sports Network. Thanks for spending your mornings with us. If you're watching on YouTube, like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Great content up there. Day in and day out, and you can watch all of our shows live. Appreciate everybody. For tuning in this morning. In the final hour, we'll talk a little Thursday night football. We got Eagles and Giants. Are you going to poo-poo it like Jason Swigard? Do I get a double poo-poo?
He's going to poo-poo?
Do I get one poo or two poo? How many poos for the game tonight?
Boy, Thursday night football is such a bad anthem that it's not on our... We have Fox, CBS, Sunday night, Monday night.
And they got Shaboozy now. It's too much. You know my take on it. I talked about it. Like, Shaboozy, dude.
Yeah, he does their opening song.
Who's that?
Shaboozy is Shaboozy.
Everybody in the bar
How
getting tipsy?
Not know who Shaboozy is.
Sorry, I even know who Shaboozy is.
It's a person, not a band?
It is a person.
Well, it might be the name of the band, but it's a person.
I think it's one guy, but I don't know. I think it's one guy.
Well, Zach Brown is one guy, but it's the Zach Brown
band. It might be like Daughtry. It might be one of those things.
So we'll talk a little Thursday night football. We will get to the M's, who got a pivotal game 5 tomorrow night at home, and react to that one. I have some fun with audio for you that maybe will put a smile on your face. We'll see. To be determined. Let's start the final hour, though.
Yes.
With the long-awaited, award-winning segment that is known as our Big Pack Picks.
Spicy.
Swag hasn't made picks in a couple weeks. It's been more of a producer chair of picks.
Probably a good thing.
As I do my Dr. Evil quotations. Last week was great. Well, only two games to pick last week. That's all we got. It was Appalachian State, Oregon State, and then obviously Maryland and Washington. Oregon and Washington State were both on byes last week.
Yeah, 1-1 for me.
I was the only one who took Appalachian State.
Yeah.
Pained me to do it, but I had to do it. And we all three took Maryland and got that win as they covered against the Huskies. The number of that game was 6.5. So, season standings, Sprague still in first place, 11-7.
Hey.
I'm 10-8. And the producer chair is now 5-13. You got some ground to
make
up
here.
At what point do we say he's eliminated?
He's just kicked out of the
picks. It might be this week,
statistically. The rest of the way. We will start, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready? Start your engines. Friday night in Seattle. This game, let me make sure I get my channel right. Give me a second.
FS1 or Fox?
FS1, you are correct. 6 o'clock start time on FS1. The Vegas Insider line on DraftKings, Washington at home against Rutgers, Washington minus 10.5.
10.5?
10.5.
I need to look up.
That makes me want to go Doc Brown, Ronald Reagan, the actor?
The actor?
So they lost by 10 to Iowa.
They did.
They lost at Minnesota by only 3.
Yeah.
And they've handled Ohio, Miami of Ohio, and Norfolk State. So I have no idea what Rutgers really is. Short week, though, going west. You know what? I'm going to ride the Huskies as a big dog here.
Should be noted, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Let me double confirm this.
Because they're both flying back from the East Coast on a short week.
They are. Is Rutgers not off of a bye?
You might be right.
Rutgers is off of a bye.
That's right, because Ohio State beat Minnesota last
week. This is one
week.
Of those stretches of games where they're playing teams off of a bye.
You know what?
So I wanted to just put that out there for the record.
10.5 feels like a trap line of it's going to end at 10, but
is it a drop?
I'm laying the big wood.
You do it?
I'll take the Huskies minus 10.5.
Okay.
No, I think they had their almost oops moment there with Maryland where they weren't quite ready to go when they needed to be, and they salvaged it. And I think Fish and the boys will use that to say, hey, let's make Rutgers not want to be here any longer than they have to be. So I think they discovered something internally about themselves and their capabilities, And I think, and it's going to, weather's probably going to be crappy Friday night. Plays right into their hand. I think the Huskies roll.
Yeah, we checked the forecast for Seattle for Friday night. The M's don't have to deal with it, obviously. It's safe.
They got a roof.
Because they got a roof, so they'll be all right. But I was curious on what that was going to be and if it impacts it either way. I will say I've watched a little bit of Rutgers in the last two games.
Have you?
I have, because the Iowa game was a Friday night game. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of, because if that game's mixed on a Saturday, I'm not watching that. And then I knew they were playing Washington in their next game, so I was curious to see how they, like, they're not great. They're not terrible. Like, Rutgers has some pieces, and they can give you some problems.
They also got a good rush defense, according to their Iowa-Minnesota stats.
Like, they do.
Sub 100 yards, sub 50 yards in one game.
Yes, go look at the Iowa game, too. Like, Iowa randomly scored a lot of points. They returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Like, it wasn't all just offensive fireworks for Iowa in that game.
You know where you're going.
I mean, that to me is a lot of points for a team coming off of a bye who's had 2 weeks to sit around and prepare for you. You had to fly all the way out to Maryland and play a game 3,000 miles and then fly all the way back 3,000 miles. You get back in the middle of the morning on Sunday probably. Like, that's a late return. And they're just sitting back, getting healthy, waiting for you. Washington's going to win this game. They're not going to lose at home to Rutgers. You tell me it's 38-28, 31-21. Not surprised. I'll take the Rutgers. I'll take the points with Rutgers.
I'm all gravy, baby.
Next up, this is an early start time on Saturday morning. I believe a 9:45 start time Saturday morning.
Random SEC Network.
Random kick time.
Why would you start a game at
45? Well, the SEC Network, they stagger it on the SEC Network after, because Bama plays at 9, so they
don't want the game at the same time kicking off.
Weird kick time.
Washington State coming off a bye. Ole Miss coming off a bye. Washington State on the road in Oxford, Mississippi. And according to the Vegas consensus line, the Cougs are catching 32.5 points in this game.
Yeah, I'm just gonna take the points and say that this game could definitely be 65-0 if Ole Miss wanted it to be. I don't think Ole Miss cares. I think Ole Miss wins this by 29 and they walk away going, yeah, we took care of our business. On to the next one. They should blow the Cougs out. I'll take 30. Is it 32.5?
32.5.
I'll take 32.5. That's a lot of points.
Okay. Hey, bro. Welcome to Casa de Wood.
Really?
Doing Ole Miss, it? This is just, this is.
They're going to roll them. We know that.
I mean, they're going to kill them. We know that. Yeah.
And I think they want to build confidence before they get into the gauntlet part of their
schedule.
Pete
Harris came in the other day and goes, no. Is it a win if my team covers the number?
No. I think
you're not wrong. Yeah, what the hell, dude? I'll give you a win for that. Yeah. I'm taking the Cougs here for one reason and one reason only.
A lot of points. Inspired by the Grove.
Not just the point. That is a lot of points. I mean, that's another reason. So maybe two reasons. Do you know who Ole Miss plays next week?
A Georgia something.
Bingo. Huh. On the road against Georgia.
That's kind of my point.
What do we call this?
The look ahead spot. Track.
They don't care about playing Washington State.
All.
They don't give a rat's ass about this game. Their minds are completely on Georgia. They know they're going to win. You give me 32, that's got backdoor written all over it. Give me the Cougs. Cover the 32.5.
Good little trip for Coug fans, even if you know your team's going to get bludgeoned.
Yes. Go to Oxford. Great tailgate spot.
See what all the hype's about, man. Wear a tie, all that stuff.
Be a fun one to go to. Next up, 12:30 on the C-Dub, right after Moesha. You got your Oregon State Beavers.
It would be funny if it was actually after Moesha.
Sister leads into it. I'd be all for it. It's a good show. Yeah!
How about Fire?
Fire! Oregon State is at
Scott
home.
Scott Bray. Actually, you call him Scott Bray. Barnes and Bray in the intro.
Fire! Taking on the ghost of Pac-2's past, that is Jake Dickert and his Wake Forest Demon Deacons. My apologies. Wake Forest at Oregon State. Oregon State in this game at home is a 2.5-point underdog.
Oregon State's a 2.5-point underdog?
They are.
I'll take Wake Forest. They just need to win by a field goal.
They just need to win by a field goal.
I've seen Wake Forest be good. I've barely seen that
in Morgan State.
You guys have
point.
Had chances.
I just need to make up games, so I will have some faith that they're just fed up.
This isn't the way.
Don't
do it.
Somehow.
You've already done it. You just did the opposite of Washington State.
Well,
Ole Miss.
I got a lot of ground to make up.
You get a yin and yang on this one?
I need Hail Marys here.
I'm go deep.
I'm the gal on the floor, the 50, Matrix 50 movie. No. Not like this.
Not like this.
And then she's just unplugged. That's me to you right now. Like this, man.
Yeah.
Guess what, buddy?
I'll take the two.
This is a straight-up win, then.
I'm doing it, too.
Yeah! Go
Dude, they're going to get somebody. They're going to get somebody. It's going to happen. Wake Forest, we can say that they've looked good. I'm not going to sit here and pretend as if I've watched every Wake Forest game because I certainly have not.
What would Oregon State do against Georgia Tech?
Probably get blown out.
They should have beaten Georgia Tech.
That was a trap spot for Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Coming off a big win. Letdown spot.
Okay.
For the Jackets.
Okay.
The advanced analytics tell me Oregon State should be 4-2 this year.
Cool. Advanced analytics don't actually give you a record.
They got a new special teams coordinator.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
They
now they know how to hike it and kick it.
A week ago, they didn't have anybody hike to help them kick do it. That.
Now, they do. They found the guy. Okay, they found the guy. All they got the answers. At home. Home cooking. They're mutters. It's going to be wet. This is the game.
Give App State, I got it. This one, you know, if you're right.
Hey, I took App State last week. So I was the only one.
No, and I understood why.
I'm on a heater with the Beavs right now. But. Don't question my heater. Last but not least, 12:30 right here on The Fan.
This is going to be the game that Beaver fan tells themselves Bray needs to stay.
We are so back. We are so back. Last but not least, 12:30 CBS and right here on The Fan, the Vegas consensus line on this game's come down during the week, down to 7.5. Oregon minus 7.5 at home against Indiana.
This is becoming, I feel like, and maybe I'm just allowing Pate to skew this, but that number wasn't as high as I thought it would be. I feel like this is becoming a bit of a trendy pick for Indiana plus the points.
Look ahead spot a week ago was 10.5, I believe, and it's come down to 7.5.
I will be fading the logic here. I will be taking Oregon minus 7.5.
I too will be on the Ducks. There's such a physical difference at the line of scrimmage, but I think Oregon's got enough speed to match. That's the one thing Indiana's relied on, speed, but I think the Ducks have just as much speed where they need it to neutralize
that. Recruiting weekend, they're not overlooking Indiana. Indiana's top 10 team.
And as quiet as Dan Lanning has been publicly this week, I think it's a similar behind the scenes whenever the next video comes out. Yeah,
we already know what the theme is this week. The theme is blinders. You got to have your blinders on like exactly. Secretariat.
Exactly.
Can't see anything. Huh? Looking straight ahead. Run your race, baby. If this was a game where, like,
we plan these before the season, and they're like,
definitely do.
I think you might have two.
Well, I wonder if James Franklin did any of that. Now they're 3-2. Like, gotta scrap all that.
Two different
all that
ducks.
Messaging's out the window.
Two different ducks rushing over 100 yards.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Washington and their schedule and how hard it's been, and you know they've been kind of screwed over with playing teams off of buys and all that. Like, this is one of those, if you had beaten Penn State and come home and played Indiana the next week and Indiana was off of a bye, mm-hmm. There's a lot more there for me. The tricky part of picking this game is twofold for me. One, I do believe in Mendoza and think he's a very good quarterback. And two, the weather might have a big impact. Now, does it hurt you? Does it help you? Indiana can run the ball. You can run the ball. They both like their front sevens. I'm worried about their linebackers in the RPO game, Oregon's that is. I don't think their linebacker play has been great this year. Sans some picks from Jerry Mixon, and Betcher is a great story, but there's times that I think he struggles a little bit in the run game. And so are you getting your eyes in the backfield? They're doing the RPOs, throwing it behind you. That's a concern for me. That's a strength of Indiana's offense. But because Oregon's off of the bye, and they're just sitting at home, and it's a big game, and game day's in town, like I think you're going to get Oregon's best shot, is what I should say. I don't think you're going to get a lackluster effort at all for Oregon, and I'll take them to cover the 7.5 in this game. There you go, Big Pack Picks every Thursday at a roving time. Sometimes it's at 8:30, sometimes it's at 8:45, sometimes it's at 9, and we love picking those games. Let's get to a pivotal game 5. Where is the Parker Factor? We'll dive into that, get into Thursday Night Football at the bottom of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, all of a sudden, Friday night's turned into a interesting little sports night in the city of Seattle. What's Softy going to do? Is he going to the M's game or is he going to the Husky game? What's he doing? What's Softy doing up there?
Oh, I think in this instance, it has to be the Mariner game.
It's a bigger game. It's game
Isn't
5.
Part, does he do like pre
or post? That's a good point. I don't know if he can. He might have to be at the Husky game.
I think he does some pre or post.
I think it's not that far from T-Mobile.
Is that the end? I'm a good my geography up
if,
there.
If traffic isn't horrendous at that point,
it's usually not a problem in Seattle.
The Mariners game got moved to 5 because there's only one game.
So it's 5 o'clock, and then the Husky game starts at 6.
You know
6.
What I bet he does? Yeah. He's double-dipping the chip. He's going to be there for the first quarter and a half, and then he'll leave the Husky game, and he'll go to the Mariner playoff game.
Mm. Well, this happened on our airwaves yesterday. Now, I've not heard this, so we're going to go through this journey together.
Yeah, Russ cut it, and
Russ just told me about it, like, as I was coming back in from the break.
I walked out. I'm a little disappointed. I thought Patrick Harris was wearing a Tiger hat today, but it's a Portland Diamond Project hat, because that would have been a pretty funny troll.
Well, I mean, he literally became a Mariner fan for a year.
He did. But now he's not a Mariner fan anymore, so I didn't know if he was, you know, trolling his former team. I don't know how this works, the moving around of teams.
Hmm.
But they pointed me to something that happened on our airwaves yesterday.
Yeah, during primetime.
Now, this was during primetime because I know he filled in for Luke for Happy Hour.
Well, maybe that was
so
it.
So I think it was during
it was
Happy
probably
Hour.
That.
Yesterday, we talked about on the show, was the anniversary of the Edgar Martinez double down the line. Mariners are going to play
Game 5
for the American League Championship Series.
ALDS.
And evidently, Schulte was either playing it or reciting it while Riley Green hit a massive
I was told
home
he
run.
Was reciting it.
Reciting it? Okay, well, let's go through this audio journey together
on
a tough one for Jordan Schulte.
We can do that right now.
You want to do that right
now? Yeah, it is the 30th anniversary of this historic Mariners play that I think most people agree that kept them in Seattle.
They would love a base hit into the gap, and they could win it with junior speed to stretch. And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on the line down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late.
The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship.
No! 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 Sorry to ruin that classic moment.
Martinez with a double.
My TV is behind yours.
Ripped down the left field line, and they are going crazy at the Kingdom.
Wow, that one was a no-doubter.
Well, they're going crazy now in Detroit at Comerica Park because Riley Green, ladies and gentlemen, just hit a solo home run to right field off of Game Spire. Damn it.
You had to go ruin that happy moment, didn't you, Schulte?
This sucks.
By the way, that was on the happy hour.
That was, because he was filling in for Luke yesterday doing the happy hour.
The funniest thing is that happening during him filling in for Luke on happy hour, and then me getting in the car yesterday around 4-ish and hearing him cocky sniffing about getting to face Skubal at home in Game 5.
What are they, 3-0 against him now on the year?
3-0.
2-0 in the regular season, and then one game two. And so they've beaten him before. He's starting Game 5, where if you're a Mariner fan.
I don't know. I'm not a Mariner fan. I don't know. I asked Luke, because Luke came in. He's a Mariner fan.
Yes, Luke's a big M's guy.
And I said, I didn't tell him the Schulte part, but Schulte sounded mighty confident. Like, this is a done deal type vibe. And
we've
I said,
done this. We know how to.
Where are you at? Cocky, nervous, excited. He's like, yeah.
Just
all of it.
Yeah.
Now, I think you brought up a good point. They're probably going to go both Kirby Castillo, do whatever it takes type
game. Oh, everybody
you empty
is
the bag.
Yeah. On deck, yes.
But I just found it interesting. Hold it to see if they do it for the fourth time, because it's not saying they can't. I picked the Northern World Series, so piss off, Mariner fan. The arrogance to have, we're just going to beat the best pitcher in the AL
four times in one year.
In a winner-take-all game.
And traditionally, like, you don't have that history. It's just
goofy
like, okay.
Crap happens in winner-take-all games.
Yeah.
And also, are those bats alive now? Because I literally text you guys, dude, that feels like 18 to nothing.
Your timing yesterday was phenomenal. We can even, like, Mariner fan, if you want to send your hate mail to anybody, send it to Brandon Sprague.
Send it to the bullpen. Send it to the bullpen.
Because I read your text, and I was kind of doing some, the little guy had just gone down for a nap. I was getting some stuff done.
The offense failed them at a crucial point.
They had the bases
the
loaded with nobody out, and they
I
ground into
that.
A double
and
play,
only
and they
got
only scored
one run.
That was the game.
They had
right
a
there.
Chance to not, to kind of put their foot on them early in the game and make it 5 or 6-0.
If you hit a bases clearing double in that moment, the game is over and
take
you're in the
walk.
ALCS.
Just
take a walk.
Keep it going.
Hit a sacrifice fly. Even just score one. Don't hit it into a double play, right? Because they just had one. But you texted this and it's hilarious because I had the same exact thought that you did. When the M's went up 3-0, when Raleigh hit that RBI single and a Rosarena scored, you're just like, that's over. Detroit can't score four runs in a game.
They couldn't get it out of the infield.
They couldn't get a hit.
Everything was going to Naylor, yeah. And their crowd was booing them.
The entire series, they haven't gotten a hit. And then in the next 20 minutes, they had more offense than they have in the last month and a half.
1:30 p.m. I sent to you guys. 2-0 felt like 10-0. 3-0 feels like 18-0 with this Tigers offense.
Yes.
And literally the bottom half of the next
minutes
inning.
Later.
It's like tie game.
Dan Campbell went into the dugout and fired him up.
I responded, well, they scored 18.
Yeah, that's, you know, look, you love that you're at home, so you love that aspect of it. That crowd should be incredible on Friday night. Your history is your history. You can't control that right now. I don't know if I would feel great facing a Cy Young Award winner for the fourth time knowing you're 3-0 against him. That's one of those things of, like, a law of averages has to win out at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to have one of these 15 Ks. You're not touching me. Two hits. I'm going to dominate you and shut the door. So you can, it just depends on how you view it. Are you a glass-half-full guy or a glass-half-empty guy? I would not certainly be an optimistic Mariner fan because there's not much in your history to make you optimistic. But if you want to go into Friday night and feel that way, be my guest. I'm excited for it. Friday night's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a standalone game, and you get to see one of the best arms in baseball go on the road in a tough environment against a team he hasn't been able to beat. That's going to be an awesome game.
And can
five.
George Kirby be George Kirby and be the strikeout guy? Can he match him? You'd love for this to be – like a Jack Morris game type of thing where they're it's 1-0 or scoreless going into the what?
I gotta bring that one up.
Well, how many scoreless games into the 10th inning in the playoffs do you witness?
Not very often does it happen.
No, I mean, I cocky Mariner fan,
shouldn't
in my opinion, shouldn't
now
exist. Happy, optimistic, excited, nervous. Yeah, dude, you've had no history to really speak of. I'd go into this with just like, what do we have to lose? I mean, you could say, well, the playoffs, but I'd say, yeah, but we're the Mariners.
Yeah, yeah. That first run is going to feel so important in that game.
Yep.
If you give up like a two-run bomb in the second inning, just,
you're going to hear an entire stadium clench at the same
exhale.
Time. All the pants will just go in.
And it doesn't mean it's over because they came back. Well, I guess they weren't losing in game two. Or no, they were. They fell down, didn't they? 3-2, and then they tied it up and then took the lead, maybe? Or maybe they blew the lead and then retook the lead. I can't remember. But the point is, it doesn't mean the game is over, but it just, that first run, whenever you're in a winner-take-all game like that with all that pressure on you, that first run feels like it's just a climbing Mount Everest. And if you get it and you jump on them, bottom of the first inning, you get some offense right out of the gate, you feel great.
Yep.
Eases everybody into the game. A couple of M's texts coming in. One said the M's have as good a chance of beating him four times in a row as Sprague does of hitting a 14 parlay.
Whoa.
It's not going to happen.
Whoa.
Just an early spring in the line hit
What did I do?
What did I do to you? And then another one, extremely nervous. Anything happens in October, and it's winner take all. Every game before this game doesn't matter. If you don't win this game, it's all for nothing.
It's going to be.
That's the hard part with it.
I mean, it's going to be very disappointing to lose that. And I know they've
and
lost
you had
before,
a 3-0 lead in game four. Like, you had the lead. You're counting outs almost at that point of, like, we're dominating them. We have a 3-0 lead. Detroit's offense stinks. Like, just get outs, and we're going to the ALCS.
I mean, I told you guys earlier, like, Vegas had them literally during the 3-0 lead as the second favorite to win the World Series.
Yeah, we all thought the game was over.
How did you watch that game and not feel that way?
Yes. Yeah, or have watched the entire series and think offense isn't going to find anything. So we'll see. Game 5, we'll have some more on that tomorrow. Game 5 will be tomorrow night. We get two NL games again today. This might be the only Game 5 we get. If we get a Dodger win today and a Brewer win today, it's the only Game 5 we get in the divisional round before the ALCS.
Matty Boyd on the mound for the Cubbies today.
Hopefully we get more. That'd be fun. They'd be both on Saturday. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, they would be Saturday.
Okay, and then so when would the when would the ALCS start?
Sunday night.
Sunday night, okay.
So will be right here on the Fan because the Seahawks play early at Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's right, early start.
So that'll be around 4 o'clock-ish.
We'll see, man. A lot of pressure. Good luck. There's nothing like the emotional roller coaster that is a winner-take-all baseball game. And sitting on the edge of your couch. Game ones are intense. Game twos, we get it. Like, you're riding and dying with every pitch. Winner take all games, man. You lose like 4 years of your life watching that, just waiting for moments to happen.
Playoff baseball just breaks your heart differently.
Not for the faint of heart, dude.
Or you, Darvish, can't, you know, throw.
Or you, Darvish, can't get out of the first inning.
Over before it starts.
All right, your thoughts are welcome. We'll talk more about that game tomorrow. Let's get to Thursday Night Football. We already have a players-only meeting for one of the best teams in the NFL. And how do we feel about the matchup tonight? Do I have two poo-poos for this game? We'll get to that coming up next. All right, I forgot this. Before we get to Thursday Night Football, try and put a smile on your face. See if it does it. Your football program, Brandon Sprague, did the thing that we've all been saying, like, hey, why didn't you do this a long time ago? You finally fired your special teams coach this week.
Scott Barnes did.
Scott Barnes, man of action. That's what we call him. Man of action. Never slow to react.
Anybody
always
seen
on
him?
His toes.
Anybody seen from him?
Is he out there? Do we know? Well, you have a new special teams coordinator slash coach. He's an interim guy, and his name is Rob Akey.
Yeah, I believe he is either the son or he is the father of Trent Bray's assistant.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
There's like a family
There's
tie.
There's a family tie the in staff. There of why yeah. he's on the staff. Okay. Yeah.
Which is why somebody at the press conference was like, why is the other guy not fired that's a part of this? And he's like, well, he just does the film stuff for us. He doesn't actually plan anything.
Yeah, he's not actually doing anything.
I think it might be the dad or the son. Yeah, I can't get confused, but somebody texted me a while back and told me what the situation
well,
was.
Well, I saw this yesterday from Ryan Clark. Our good friend covers a beat for the Oregonian, does a great job doing it. And he had this video put out, and he was like, you know what? This is finally something related to Oregon State that can make you smile. And Rob Akey, their new special teams coach, was asked about the struggles and all the issues that they've gone through and how painful it's been. And I thought he gave maybe the best 90 seconds of Oregon State season. Oop, I don't know if it's letting me play it, Swag. Fire off.
Back to that.
Wait, holding. Wait for it.
There's no way in the world that the outside world can put any more pressure on us than we already put on ourselves. You know, we've got a great nation out there that wants to see us win. Well, that's our lives too, and we live it, and it's our lives all day, every day, and it affects our families and everybody we know and all that kind of stuff. So I don't look at it as being pressure. That's expectation, and that's our expectation of what we do. And our expectation is how we, as a Beaver family, are going to go about making it happen. Rob Akey ain't going to make the difference. This is Coach Bray's football team, but it's our football team, and that's where us bound together and paying attention to finishing. You know, we've been so damn close in the last few weeks, and close don't mean a damn thing. I understand that. We understand that more than anything. Yeah. It drives us more crazy than anybody could even imagine because we see it as it's happening, and you see the things that are, and watching these guys and the pain that's in their eyes because they're working their tails off, and it's not easy to be in the situation they are right now because they're working their asses off, and the success hasn't happened yet. And when it's closer, that makes it even taste even worse, if that makes sense what I'm saying. And so we want it to happen for them. Let's go back to why we do what we do. We want it to happen. We want to see them be smiling when they come off the field again. You know, my family might like it when I come home and see me smile again. I don't know. The dogs still talk to me, so I think that's a good thing.
Dude, first of all, that's an all-time great college football assistant coach.
Doesn't he just sound like he's
he's a lifer.
Been around,
right?
I got a lot of lines, I got a lot of zingers.
By the way,
very refreshing.
The special teams quality control guy is Rob Akey's kid.
Okay.
Which, that's why Bray was asked, why was he not let go if Christian was also let go?
Right, don't you clean house with the entire department?
And Bray's like, well, he just cuts up the film for us. He doesn't actually plan anything. And it's like, no, his dad is on the staff, so clearly you're not going to fire.
He's not going to get fired.
The kid.
Nice little breath of fresh air. The dog line there at the end. At least the dog still talked to me. It was pretty solid. I just, you know, one-liners from coaches. Sometimes you need a little levity to be able to laugh about a situation. And that was a breath of fresh air, I thought.
We had a listener that was, because we did the flip it or stick it, and I think I said 3-9. You know, I looked at Sam Houston Lafayette, and okay, maybe they get somebody, right? And they're like, why are you trusting? I was like, I don't trust them. I'm just saying I think they could randomly
They're
win
not going to go winless.
It's not a trust factor.
They're not going to go 0-12.
They might, but I just went 3-9. Regardless, there isn't a lot of trust there, and there shouldn't be. They haven't earned it. Like, you can't keep telling us you're close, but you lose. That kind of means you're not close. You just find different ways to lose. You can't tell me, though, it's not a universal, why is that number only 2? Like, Wake Forest isn't world beaters. They're a better football team than you.
It's an ACC team.
Robbie Ashford's been in college for 15 years.
Yeah.
He was an Oregon Duck legend. In 2009. I mean, it's crazy how long this guy's been around. That line only being 2, maybe it is them this weekend. Maybe they do get got. But, yeah, man, I just that's the best thing that's happened to my program in maybe 3 months is Rob Akey giving us an answer about special teams.
And talking about his dogs, at least talk to him still.
I also love that he slid in, well, it ain't Rob Akey. This is
Trent Bray's name. This ain't my team. I don't have nothing to do with it. I didn't sit around watching, man.
In case a field goal gets blocked, remember, this ain't Rob Akey.
I just took over here. I'm new around these parts.
I know he didn't mean it that way. But
I know. And then he immediately was like, well, it's all our team. He immediately figured out what he said there. Now that's going to age poorly. right. We'll get to Thursday Night Football. Thoughts on the game. What do we make of Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and A.J. Brown have a players-only meeting this week?
I mean, you blew a 17-3 lead. You should talk about that. I don't really care.
It sounds like it was just the three of them. Just the three guys. The three amigos. Nobody else involved. It's a players-only meeting with only three players.
Did they do the three amigos hip thrust together to break the meeting?
I also want to know who's the leaker here. If it's only three guys, who's the leaker?
It's easily A.J. Brown.
You think A.J. Brown's the leaker?
Yeah. If you were to guess who the leaker is between those three, who would you say it is?
Yeah, probably A.J. Brown.
He's kind of funny to watch
That's
during
not
these games.
Hurts no. doesn't say anything to anybody.
No, he doesn't talk at
any time. Barkley likes to chatter.
He does a little bit.
But Saquon, when you watch...
Saquon would pass it off as nothing. He's like, oh, we got together.
When you watch A.J. Brown, even in the midst of them being up big last weekend, having watched that, every other play, he just looks disgusted that he didn't get the ball. His body language is just reeks of, damn, man.
Give me the football.
So I think it's Saquon maybe more bridging together Jalen and A.J. because Jalen certainly is going to handle this like a mature adult.
Yes.
It's more like, yo, AJ, if you don't get a touch in the first half, man,
hang. How many
go read your book on the sideline and take a deep breath, man.
How many seasons was OBJ there with Saquon? Like, he's used to somebody.
In New York?
Yeah.
Did they cross over?
I got to think, because wasn't he there 4 years, 4 or 5 before he
left? He was, but remember, you had OBJ in Cleveland for a while. You
no,
had OBJ.
I know.
OBJ was on the Rams Super Bowl team. How many years ago was that?
Was that long ago?
Yeah. What year did they win the Super Bowl? 2021? That was the year after COVID, if I'm not wrong. They beat the Bengals, and OBJ
so
was
OBJ's last year in New York was 2018.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So they did, and that might have been Barkley's
Saquon
rookie year?
Saquon wasn't in the NFL in 2018?
No.
That might have been his rookie year.
Maybe his rookie year.
None of us know.
I have no
That's
idea.
Ridiculous.
But yeah,
okay. Give me a second.
Hold on, I got Saquon right here. Saquon's rookie year was 2018, so they played 1 year. Together.
1 year.
Now,
he was
too young to do anything. He wasn't going to say anything to Odell.
Well, he wasn't
going to
say anything, but
he's watching him fight a net.
He's
seen drama from wide receivers.
He saw the big
drama.
Well,
I would say, like,
point.
I don't even think you need to use the Giants.
He's
as the
been
example.
There for 2 years.
Use Philly as the example. This happened with AJ Brown last year. Remember, he was reading the like self help book on the site, whatever it was, and it rose to the number one bestseller because he wasn't getting the football. Their passing game's not very good. So he's frustrated. This isn't anything new for Philly. They're still 4-1. We'll get into that game a little bit. Talk about the National League playoff series. Do they come to an end today, or do we get a couple of more game fives over the weekend? Answer some poll questions. Wrap it all up next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, you can always count on Paramount Plus. Sundays with the NFL on CBS. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
Look at you math whiz.
You like that? I can do that math right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I got a poo-poo indicator from Jason Swigard. Do I get a poo-poo indicator from Brandon Sprague for Thursday Night Football tonight?
Well, what's the measurement of poo-pooing? Is it just an Eagle blowout win is the poo-pooing?
I would imagine so. Not giving much chance for Jackson Dart to get a big win at home.
Well, Dart's offense really struggled against that Saint defense after a quick start, so it's hard to see it, but it's Thursday. It's short. We've poo-pooed too many times on this game.
Eagles coming off a physical game against Denver and now going on the road.
I think there's a little bit of the Philly, like, hey, we know you're legitimate. You probably still the cream of the crop until somebody dethrones you, but Barkley's season's not gone amazingly, and that offense is funky.
Yes,
so,
it is.
It's a Giant team that has some respectable pieces in different positions. Like, go handle your business. It's on the road, correct? In
it
New
is
York.
In New York at MetLife Stadium.
Barkley absolutely torched them when he's played them. So go handle your business on the road. Some Philly fans will be there. And another opportunity, I guess, to see what Jackson Dart can do against some pretty stiff competition.
Jalen Hurts only 110 yards away from 1,000 passing yards on the season. Well done, Jalen Hurts, getting to that category. I don't know if I'm going to gamble the side tonight.
We're not glued to this game, but we'll have it on.
Yeah, yes. I think that's a good way of putting it. The difficulty is the Amazon Prime games trying to flip back and forth with the baseball playoffs going on.
I think I'll stay away from touching Philly minus 7.5. I don't have enough faith in a rookie quarterback against that defense covering the number at home. This seems like it. And now, to be fair, I'm an idiot. I would have said this last Thursday, and boy, points exploded in San Francisco, L.A.
Yeah, last few Thursdays have been surprising.
They've been surprising. I'm going to lean under again tonight. Philly's offense has been abysmal for the majority of the year. The Giants, I don't think, are prepared to move the ball consistently against that Philly front, and it's a rookie quarterback and that big, kind of in its first primetime spotlight game. You tell me this thing's 17-13 or 17-10, I'm not surprised in the least. I think I'm going to take the under.
Under might be the play. I would add, too, from the Bronco-Philly game, and the Bronco defense has its moments where it certainly looks the best. That defensive line was kind of wrecking Philadelphia, putting them under pressure.
Dickerson's banged up again. He's been in and out of the lineup.
It was the only thing that kind of kept them in that ball game before they made their comeback. I'll be curious to see if the Giant defensive line can get a similar pressure, put Hurts in a little bit of a panic mode. And if you can kind of shore up the deep ball, which is a tough thing to do with Devonta Smith, we know A.J. Brown wants the football. I mean,
Giants got a good defense, man.
Maybe the Giants find themselves in a game going into the fourth quarter, which I think is Thursday Night Football fans, as much as we don't like the game existing, that's all you can hope for.
Yeah, all you're asking for. Yeah, their game last week against New Orleans was largely based on just kind of random turnover luck. Like, they had a lead early, and then they just started fumbling the ball left and right.
Dart had a bad one.
Dart had a bad fumble, and he threw a bad pick. The second pick for him was just like, you know, it's a Hail Mary at that point, so I'm not going to put that one on him, but the fumble luck and the turnover luck started to mount against them. So if they can hold on to the football, their defense has been outstanding. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. We get two games in the National League tonight. Phillies on the road in L.A. That is the first game tonight. They flipped orders. We get a night-night, late-late game at Wrigley Field. Philly in L.A., that is the early start at 3 o'clock. So a little daylight still out, 80 degrees. Glasnow versus Sanchez. Is it over in L.A.?
I'm going to say yeah. I will take the Dodgers to eliminate the Philadelphia Phillies, although I know Swag is going to be terrified of this game because of that Philly lineup. Other side, I mean, Brew Crew winning, okay, but yeah. I'm gonna lean
Dodgers
on
Dodgers is your favorite pick tonight?
Yeah.
Dodgers and Cubs?
I'd be rooting hard for Matty Boyd.
Yeah, I think they both come to an end tonight. I didn't know how to feel yesterday. Game 3, so you get that desperation similar to New York and Toronto, and then it kind of resets itself. L.A., again, I don't see Philly going off against them the way that they did in Game 3. And the Brewers had a ton of chances in Game 3. Like, they had so many opportunities.
Bases loaded.
Dude, constantly throughout that game. You're like, okay, here comes the big hit, and it just didn't quite come for them. I think it does today. Although Boyd winning a big game with his backstory would be very cool. I don't have a super rooting interest there. I think they do come to an end tonight, though. I'll take the Brewers and the Dodgers. Let's see if we got any poll questions out today. What do we got today?
We got a few of them.
You got a few? Let me pull them
up. I didn't
do
a lot of them today.
All right, hold on. Give me a second.
I got them right here. Here's the first poll question. Are you a fan of your sports team or teams because of your dad?
I am. Yes, I am. That's what I voted.
That's the only other poll question.
Yeah. 54-46 is your split. Yes to no on that one.
Yeah, I think most people end up getting their fandom from their parents.
That sounds about right. There you go. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, 1051thefan on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We'll tweet it out here as soon as we're done. We had Josh Paton, the commissioner of college football, for his thoughts on Oregon, Indiana, and the rest of the slate this weekend, including a big game in Los Angeles for USC against Michigan. Tomorrow, the Indiana play-by-play guy will join us at
Don Fisher
at 6:15.
Bright and early.
Bright and early daily ticker tomorrow. It's the earliest one we've ever had, but that's the way it works for his travel schedule, so we'll talk some more Indiana. We'll get you all set for your big football weekend. We'll see how the baseball goes and preview a massive Game 5 tomorrow night in Seattle. That will do it for us. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel on YouTube if you haven't done so yet. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm of Harrison Marang is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fan.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.